Hey, hello, Fabian, how's it going?
Hey, Giovanni, how are you?
Doing good, going do good. Caselli, they just for today relocated in Canary, in Tenerife.
Fantastic. I can't believe it. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. Yeah, exciting. First time for me doing this,
Yeah, for me too.
excellent. Hi, Emily. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, well.
Great. When should we kick off? Should we kick off?
Yeah, why not? I think we are already 25. And yes, why not?
My wife is long gone. That's a very good marketing. Great.
So, how's
Well,
going?
yeah, very well, very well. Well, first of all, I think we should thank Caselli Art House for organizing this amazing Q&A between, I guess, two old friends as well as art collaborators in some form or way. And yes, one of the questions actually was that I was going to ask is, I mean, firstly, it's good to see that you're happy and healthy. It looks like you guys have a lot of sunshine down there. But for the viewers, you're originally from Italy, but where are you quarantining yourself?
I grew up in Florence. I'm originally from Florence, from Italy, and I grew up there. And
AJ.
then somehow I found myself in Tenerife, in Canary Islands. And I've got here because I was working on exploration, on this idea to travel and trying to reach the horizon, huh? And
That's
to
right.
discover,
That's
yeah, definitely,
right.
definitely, and also to map the unknown. For me was very important. All those explorers, all those people that travel in the unknown, they kind of somehow they were a real example of facing your own fears, huh? Because those guys, they were facing the real unknown, right? We don't share the unknown on this planet anymore. We don't have that feeling, the unknown. Now the unknown is in the universe. It's not anymore with us. And thanks to those guys. But individually, as a human being, I was fascinated by this idea of the unknown and to face your own fear and to try to become who you really are. That's why I'm here in Canary Islands. And then, let's look. The sky, the sun. I mean, it's a very lovely place where to live and grow up your kids.
Exactly. And I guess for us as well in London, we have for the first time ever a very sunny spring as well. So it's not helping us in this situation. But I mean, how badly has your area been affected by the quarantine, by the lockdown? Has this how have you actually used this period of isolation in your practice?
Yeah, I mean, the area has been affected quite a lot, not massively as Madrid, but we had a lot of students, a lot of youngsters. They go and travel and they study abroad in mainland Spain. So as the coronavirus start to spread, they came back. So they brought back the virus as well. So we in Canaries, we are the island that got hit the most. And we are in a strict lockdown since the 12th March. So actually, I was telling you before, I saw yesterday night, it was the second full moon that I saw in the lockdown. It was quite something, to think about the time in this period, the hours, the minutes, they don't mean that much. But the moon, the cycle, the bigger cycle, somehow it still allows you to understand the quantity, the amount of time that is passing by, that is passing. And on my practice, yes, I will be affected as I'm affected as human being, so as an artist, I will be affected as well.
So I know specifically because some of my good friends are also from Tenerife, so and Canary Islands in particular. And they showed me all of the incredible images of the sandstorms that you guys had there. Are we going to see a next exhibition of potential sandstorm images from you from the isolation period?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it has been. We got a huge kalima, very strong kalima. That kind of storms of sand, sandstorm. The sand is coming from the desert, from Africa, and it's called kalima. And last few weeks we got hit very, very hard, and it's quite amazing because everything turns orange. The air, you can't actually see. It's like fog, but completely orange. It's quite amazing.
And yeah, for example, I mean, what? I mean, where do you get the inspiration from? You said from outer space, but you also have different practices. So you just, I think your favorite, I mean, I don't want to say favorite, but you love to work with, this is where I first encountered your work was photography. But you also now do wall pieces. I think the last exhibition actually I saw was at Gazelli was, you were doing a lot of wall pieces there. What are the inspiration behind those? Do you have a particular set of way that you're moving into? Do you want to concentrate on photography or?
You know, I'm just trying to follow the path that I have in front of me and the intuition that I have. So I don't have a specific plan, but I'm just like to try to follow the flow. And I was quite attracted for the past few years about these walls where... you know, like I go in these places where you can find ex-bunkers or abandoned buildings. And you know how people leave their marks. They leave their own signatures or their desires, a sentence, something that sometimes something very silly, sometimes something very deep. But we as humans, we have these needs to leave our path, our sign, in since the Stone Age, since ever. So it's something that we still do it. And so I used to go in these places and to see all these walls covered with signs and graffiti, and I was very fascinated. And somehow I wanted to try to steal these kind of maps, because somehow they become maps of a time, a period of time, and of a place.
So do you actually paint the physical wall out and paint on top of it, or do you actually recreate it as if it was that wall?
Actually, I use a very old technique that I'm sure you know, that is strappo da fresco, and it was a technique developed to steal fresco from gardens and to put it on canvas. You can see many at Louvre. And I use practically the same kind of technique, with like new contemporary materials, new glue and silicones. And practically I tear off the first layer of the wall. Tearing off. Yeah, I'm applying this material over it, waiting for it to dry, and then tearing off the whole thing. And I get like the first, let's say, few millimeters.
Great. You also made an edition of a watch as well, I saw.
Yeah. Actually, I have signed a contract with Huawei in the 21st of January. Not a lucky year to sign a contract with Huawei. But yeah, so I practically we have applied some of my works on a special edition, limited edition of watches. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting. And that's why, you know, I work a lot with China, with Asia, and with China. So this virus coming, I was feeling that it was really going to affect us. Yeah, and so it's practically since January that I'm talking with people that has been in quarantine, and somehow they gave me a kind of strength to face what we are now experiencing.
See, I think this is why they paired us together as a conversation point, because my next question was, what is the biggest challenge you have faced so far as an artist, especially during this particular tough time? So, I mean, practically almost answered that, but how do you find, in this time, do you focus now more on your family, or do you actually find it more inspirational to work? How do you find new material to photograph or to work with during a time like this where you're not supposed to really go outside or go to a studio and, you know, stay at home?
Yeah, actually, I'm quite focused on my family and the time that I'm spending at home. Because, as you know, I was one of those guys that was traveling quite a lot. And so for me, that is a tough thing. That's tough experience, because at the beginning, I'm used to travel 2 weeks a month at least. And so to find myself stuck in the same place, I couldn't go to the studio. It was very, very different, and a different kind of life. So at first that was quite challenging. And and I'm reading a lot. I'm trying to read a lot because I have two kids at home. There are two hurricanes. I'm trying to read, watch movies, thinking about stuff. And that's quite motivating, you know. And sometime at night, I come here, I see you have your cap with NASA logo. And at night, I come here in this terrace I look at the sky with my telescope. I found that very, very inspiring and relaxing, because I can't travel with that. Huh?
I think I'm also having travel withdrawal. That's why I'm wearing my hats today. Also, plus, I haven't been to the hairdresser in a month and a half, so it doesn't look very good.
Yeah.
But luckily, you don't have that problem. That's good. But also, in a situation where we're in right now, which is a very unique, it's never happened before situation, you know, where collectors like myself aren't able to visit galleries, what is the best way for an artist like yourself to showcase your art? How do you promote it? How do you go about it? Do you communicate with your galleries, like with Gazzelli? Do you have open conversations about what, I mean, we're doing this, for example. This is, I guess, one of the steps how you can engage with your collectors and your friends and all around the world, but and to keep showing them what you're working on. But what about the finished work? What is the way to do it? Especially because sometimes it's harder to photograph some of the work that you do. But
yeah, actually, it's very complicated. It's something that I'm discovering day by day, because I've tried to help somehow with charity auction and different kind of I've tried to help at first. So I have an auction going on now. And but it's difficult to promote your work. But we have this kind of talks. So I see that somehow I have a lot of inquiries, a lot of people asking me for interviews, for materials, you know, for discussion, because I think there is a real needs of continents. And this is quite interesting. It shifts the work from a side to another one. From doing a show every month, it's completely a different kind of work. But I think it's very deep and it's very important for me as an artist. Because we go back, I go back to when I started, that I was talking a lot about my work. And it's quite interesting. There was like Art Basel in Hong Kong, that it was online. Something happened. We had some sales. But it's different, you know. I collect myself and I like to buy some things. some artwork when I can, and it's difficult to have. I need one-to-one relation with the work. That's my opinion.
Excellent. And yeah, but for example, now let's say the future. We're talking about the next 3 months. We don't know what the future holds. Hopefully by the summertime, we're allowed to get out again. Are you going to start learning how to promote more online, or is this something that you're going to do only because it's necessary right now?
I don't know. Maybe this is very interesting. What we are doing now, it's very interesting. I think internet and this kind of platform, they really can help us to have a kind of dialogue that we were not having. But to promote the work in terms of sales, in terms of really experience the work, I really think that we still need the contact with the work, direct contact with the work. So I think we can use this platform to improve what we were doing, but we have to shift. I mean, it's to share something, not to experience an artwork. That's my opinion.
It's certainly a fascinating thing when we're looking at it from our perspective as well as collectors, as well as from the fair perspective going forward to see what it is that we're going to do. But for example, I mean, what are the artists that you other artists that you admire the most? You know, who would you like to collaborate with? Maybe like the. You know,
I would love to have a show with Anselmo, with Giovanni Anselmo. Yeah, I would love to, but I don't have any idols. I don't have idols. I admire many artworks, many artists, but I have no idols. So I'm very, you know, when you see a person that is fully committed, it's like it has a discipline. It's in whatever he's doing, it becomes a kind of religion. That's what I really admire. And it doesn't matter if it can be art, it can be whatever. I admire that kind of energy. You know, what's that painting that you have in your bag?
From a young American artist called Ryan Estep. So he works a lot with, I guess it's also space and time and dirt. And yeah, so it's one of the ones I picked up very early on. I think it's maybe about 10 years that I have this.
I see. And are you trying to, are you buying something online? Are you able to do that? Or maybe. It's something that is...
I don't know if you know, but like I was one of the first people who curated a show on how one actually buys art online. The first show I did was called #abstract, which is actually because about 10 years ago, I found a piece of art from an artist online on Instagram that I really loved. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know who the artist was, and I fell in love with it and I bought it. I believe that selling art online is a thing of the future. I mean, we've been doing it in some way and form for many years with PDFs, with things that have been sent through to inboxes. But I'm very much a believer of, as you say, the only unknown that we have now is space. And all the information you can find is via Instagram, via Google, so it brings the world a lot closer together, and you could make a lot of discoveries. Of course, and as you say, it's the personal contact, you know, like what we're doing now, what we have when we see each other, how we communicate with each other. That's what's important, because that's what keeps the relationship alive. But internet has become extremely important to discover.
I mean, I would buy something from an artist that I already know. Yeah, actually, I'm trying to buy a Flavio Favelli in these days. But I know the work. I know what's about. So, yeah, in that way, it can really work. But to discover, it's something that for me, I mean, I'm like old style.
But you can discover it in different ways. You could, like, this is how I did it. Like, like, I'll say who the artist was. It was Casper Zona. I remember it exactly. And I saw it online and I was like fascinated by it. I was fascinated by the process. I love process-based art as well. That's why I love your wall series very much in that regard. And yeah, so the question is that you can see it online first, but then you discover it in many different ways or forms. You do the research, you do the inquiring, you talk to the artist directly, then you talk to the gallery. Sometimes you'll buy it immediately if it's at a price point where it doesn't, you know, 10,000, 15,000 under, you can make better decisions. Easier decisions to make something a quicker online purchase. But yeah, you could then become start a relationship with those galleries, and that's how it starts as well. So you can start, the love can first come online, and then it moves into a real world,
like a spark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
But something that I always like to ask to collectors, and what it was your first piece, the first piece that you bought.
First piece
and the last and the last one.
So actually, it's funny. The last piece I bought is from Gazelli Art House. So that's a very, very, very good question to ask. But the first piece I bought is basically when we left college. My father gave us a little budget to play around with. He said, "You're only allowed to buy art with this budget. You're not allowed to buy anything else. If you buy it, you have to research. You have to." Come to me with the research and then we buy it together. And when you want to sell it, you come to me, you tell me exactly why you want to sell it, and then we sell it together. And then the money that you make or don't make goes back into the budget. You won't get anything else from me anymore. So this is how I started my collection, actually. And
that's cool.
You know, and the first piece I bought was from Museum 52, which is now defunct in London, which was from Matthew Dippel. And I bought a young Japanese photographer called Tomoaki Makino, and he no longer is an artist now himself. I think he's more into the marketing world. He still does art. He's based in Japan. It was, I think the piece was £1,000 at the time, and I still have it. It's my first piece. It will always it will always be in my collection.
That's nice.
And my last piece was a Reza Fadrashes painting from the Gazelli's summer exhibition, and hopefully my next piece will be a Giovanni Orsola.
Oh wow, that sounds awesome.
Yes, hopefully. If it's not out of my reach by now,
No. I'm sure Mila, you can work out it with Mila, don't worry.
Exactly. She's in Baku now, so I'm sure my brother can work it out with her there.
I see.
But yeah, so this is exciting. I mean, what are the next projects that you're working on?
Actually, everything has been postponed. Everything has been postponed, and I was going to have a solo show in Korea, and in September. That was my main the main show, and then another one in Paris doing Paris Photo.
Wow, great.
So, and then I was doing this work with Huawei, and yes, that it was, I mean, and then I have some group show and other kind of show and activity, let's say. But that it was my plan for the year. Because last year has been quite busy for me.
And are you still taking new images?
Yeah. Actually, last night I took a few. Here in the terrace, and you know, it was full moon, so I was very amazed by this cold light. It was so strong, so bright, and you know, the night here are awesome. I mean, you can really see stars from here. It's one of the best places on Earth to observe the sky. So it was it was very, very interesting. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, that's pretty much the most of the questions that I had on my little cheat sheet that I wanted to write. Obviously, this is the first one of these live interview rounds that I have done. This is obviously this is obviously the benefit of having a home live interview that you're doing. Say hi to Joe Mami.
Ciao. Hi, Joe Mami. How, my dear? How's going?
Well, he can't hear you because I'm
but, you're right. But I wanted to ask you something because what about Volta?
Volta? Yeah, it looks like you've, I don't know, but as long as you're still alive, that's fine. But yeah, no, Volta is an exciting proposition. I've taken over the fair in November last year. We're trying to build it back into a fair of discovery where you can really discover great talent, you know, where you could discover great galleries that are emerging and mid-career galleries that, you know, you won't necessarily see in the major fairs, but have fabulous programs. And we're working with a lot of Italian galleries, actually, a lot of Spanish galleries, a lot of American galleries. So the idea is really to make it into, you know, a fantastic theater fair into for the main fairs. And the next one, hopefully, is going to be in Basel. In September.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Yeah. Absolutely great. Yeah. I mean, and how are you spending your day? What's your routine to this? I mean, how's in London? It's a strict lockdown, or you can go out?
You can go out for an hour.
For an hour?
Yeah, for an hour. I mean, I don't think that right now that there's any kind of facial recognition test going on, but we're still very busy. I mean, we're actually using this time to rebrand Volta.
Yeah.
So we're trying to change the branding, the image, the vision, the mission statement. And then I have a fair to prepare for in September. We have in Miami, we have Pulse as well. So that's one of the fairs that I run as well. So that's the fair in December. So it's pretty much business as usual, just with a little bit of distraction at home.
I see. Yeah. Cute one. Good distraction.
Yes, it's a very cute distraction. It's a very cute distraction.
So someone is asking for me to show the terrace. Here we are. This is my tree.
We're jealous. I'll show you. I'll show you my terrace. Yeah. No terrace.
Yeah. I just realized that I'm getting questions in the chat.
Sure.
So, yeah. I have my I think we are pretty much done. I mean, I would love to speak with you more. And
we can always do that later on. But guys, don't forget, you know, you can sign up to Gazzelli's newsletter by going on their Instagram account and going on their website. Thanks to Gazzelli for organizing this wonderful conversation. Hopefully we'll be doing more of these. We'll be getting better at doing them as well. We're definitely, for a first attempt, hopefully we weren't that bad. Thank you everyone for tuning in. It's been a great pleasure. Hope to see you guys very soon, if not Volta September in Basel or Volta December in Miami. And I'll hopefully see you very soon too.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody. Thank you, Kamyar.
Thank you for your time.
Big
thank
hug.
You, everyone. Yeah, same to you.
Huge hug to everyone. Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.